When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now that one of the sides has been essentially wiped out, but nobody knows who the other side is. But I do. You know who it is? Turkey. Okay? Turkey's the one behind it. He's a very smart guy. They've wanted it for thousands of years, and he got it. And those people that went in are controlled by Turkey. And that's okay. It's another way to fight. But no, I don't think that I want to have our soldiers killed. But I don't think that will happen now anyway, because the one side's been decimated.
Well, President Trump in his marathon press conference yesterday was talking a bit about Syria, Assad, and I think that from when I said I hear all these names and in one way, shape or form over the last 30 years of my life, they all sound spooky and I don't know the details of what's going on. And we hear about Bashar al-Assad's fall from power and we wonder what's next for that region of the world. And then you pair with it the Joe Biden administration on the way out, the Donald Trump administration back on the way in. What happens with this region of the world? That's why we have experts on the Annie Fry Show, because I certainly don't have the answers, but I do have a lot of the questions. Jim Carafano back with us, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
I just want to tell you how smart I really am. I could have literally predicted the words that would come out of Donald Trump's mouth.
Really?
So there you go. On this issue, absolutely, totally.
Well, this is good for you, absolutely. Good for us that we get to speak to you about it. Tell us what's going on in Syria and how does America tie in potentially or not tie in to what happens next?
Well, the U.S. has never had a vital interest in Syria. It's been a vital interest for the Russians because it is a warm water port into the Med. It's been a vital interest for the Iranians because it is a logistics pipeline to get stuff to Hezbollah in Lebanon to threaten Israel. It is a mega attraction for transnational criminals, to everything from drug trafficking to human trafficking. But from America, it's not really been. So we've had a presence there that was largely driven by the explosion of ISIS. Trump kind of inherited that from Obama, because we were in there killing ISIS. We stayed and we still stay because it was an efficient way to kill ISIS. And what Trump did is anybody that messed with our guy, the Americans, we just killed them. And so people kind of left us alone. Now, it is true that we did partner with a Kurdish separatist element, which is actually the enemy of the church, and has actually created animosity between the two sides. But let's be clear, these guys were never the good guys. You know, when people say Kurds, there's Kurdish communities spread throughout the Middle East. The ones in Syria, they're not choir boys. And I personally, just me, Jim Carafano, was always uncomfortable with this relationship because you're partnering with people who really are not necessarily what you would want for the future of Syria. So Syria is a mess. There are two countries which have a lot more interest in Syria than the United States that are actually allies to the United States. One is Turkey, which I'm actually quite sympathetic with Turkey's interest in ensuring that Syria is not a platform for terrorism against Turkey or from the Kurds in Syria. And the other is Israel, because Israel, of course, does not want Syria to be a platform for Iran to threaten the country. And you know, nobody likes the transnational crime. Nobody likes the refugees or the use of chemical weapons and that kind of stuff. So here's what I would watch for is if Turkey and Israel come to an understanding on their interest in Syria, that's kind of the best case scenario for the United States. Turkey feels like its interests are protected. The Israelis feel like their interests are protected. They're not killing each other over this. Then the U.S. would be happy.
When we hear, you know, civilian people, I feel like a lot of this stuff is sometimes intended to scare voters into voting a certain way. And we're on the other side of an election right now. And I always have to remind myself that our way of life, that's never going to be instilled into these other places who have complete and total cultural differences than we do. Everything is culturally different. And so you can't have an expectation that is only based on our own perspective here in America. So we hear about the fighting. We hear about the terrorism. I wrote down Taliban, ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah. These are just four names off the top of my head that I can think of that have been associated with terrorism in my lifetime. Since I've been paying attention since 9/11, and it seems like they're always just taking over for the other one. And when you hear that the new one's taking over, I'm like, well, I thought that they were the bad guys as well. So I just sit here and I'm like, I don't really know what to think about any of it.
I don't really care who they are. I mean, I care about Kurds. I mean, the U.S., but we don't care about the Kurds in Syria. But the Kurds that we care about are the ones in Iraq. Kurdistan in Iraq is very pro-American. It is a stable force. It is a bloc against Iran. It is not a threat to the Turks. Those guys are fine. We care about those guys. We care about Christians. And I often have people say, oh, but Christians are going to be persecuted. Well, the reality is the Christians that were living under Assad in Syria, it is true that they were not persecuted by Assad. That's true. And they might be persecuted now. That's true. But the reason why they weren't persecuted by Assad is because they were supporting an odious regime that was committing genocide. So, you know, I have all the sympathy in the world and love for Christians, and I'd love for them to be protected and have religious liberty wherever they go. But this community was complicit in a regime which was killing its own people. So I'm not like, you know, I'm not unsympathetic to their problem, but I'm also like, our job is not to protect the Christian community in Syria. You know, they should have thought of that when they signed up with the Assad regime a long time ago. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Jim Carafano speaking with us right now at the Heritage Foundation. Like one of the things that I can think of coming up being a story was when we pulled out of Afghanistan, my recollection is that the Taliban took back over. And then, of course, my memory of the Taliban from the early 2000s, just coming into this understanding of even the word terrorism and all of these different organizations in the Middle East. How does the Donald Trump administration come in and react when he talks about Afghanistan? He talks about it as being such a heinous, horrible thing that America did. I think a lot of us agree with that, of course.
Right.
What happens with Donald Trump now that he comes in? What's done is done. How does he address these different areas in a way that might be very different than Biden?
Well, I think the number one issue in a lot of these areas where, again, the United States does not have a vital interest, is terrorism. I think, you know, we've kind of all forgotten about terrorism in the last, 10 years. But the reality is there's lots of gaps and spaces for terrorism to come back, particularly because We've seen this explosion of the global intifada in the last few years. So all this protesting against Israel and demonization of Israel and Jews and everything, this has got to be inspiring and motivating for Islamist terrorists all over the world. We've had an open border for 4 years. We have adversarial countries in Latin America that have access to the United States. We have troubled places like Afghanistan and Syria and several others. We have to get serious about terrorism again because it could come back on the platter. So, you know, you don't want to be surprised. So you don't want to go into these countries and these different parts of the world, whether it's the Sahel in North Africa or Afghanistan or Syria, and start messing around doing regime change or nation building, because that's a bottomless hole. But you want to have situation awareness. So you don't want problems coming out of these places that come at you. And if there are people that have come in the United States, you want to get them. But this is like the drone thing, right? And people are freaked out about the drones. Well, you know, if we had spent the last 4 years focusing on protecting Americans from adversarial threats and not, you know, chasing, you know, raiding the President Trump's house in Mar-a-Lago, or, you know, monitoring Christians in school board meetings, you know, or being providing concierge service for illegal aliens coming to the United States. If we actually spent our time and effort focused on those things like we were supposed to after 9/11, we wouldn't have the problems that we have today. So I just like the government to get back to the day job.
Yeah.
And I feel pretty confident under this team that it will.
Jim, I'm glad you brought up the drones, because I was definitely going to ask you that. And I was going to gauge your like, meh, or this is a great deal of panic in response to how a lot of civilians, certainly in New Jersey, New York, other places where they've been seen. We haven't seen them over the Midwest here recently, but we all remember the Chinese balloon that everybody was like,
right,
we have no idea what this is, until we're like, let's shoot it down in the Atlantic after it traversed the whole country. What do you make of what's going on in New Jersey?
Well, that's the issue. We don't know what to make of it. You know, I wrote about this 15 years ago when I said, look, we are coming into an age when drone use throughout the world is going to be quite common. It's going to provide enormous economic benefits, all kinds of new opportunity, but it's going to come with risks. And we need to be able to ensure the sovereignty of our airspace, whether it's from a balloon or a Russian MiG or a drone. And, you know, honestly, the last 4 years, you know, I'm okay. I'm with you. Like 15 years ago, if you looked at CARAFAL and said, we know what you're talking about, fine. But in the last 5 years, it is completely obvious about the complexity of the drone environment and how seriously we take it. And we have a government that has done nothing. So, you could see this day coming, right? We would like, the old thing is like the guy that was looking for his keys and the cop says, what are you doing? He says, I'm looking for my car keys. The guy goes, well, where's your car? He goes, it's down the street. He goes, well, are you looking for your keys over here? He goes, well, this is where the street light is. You know, it's like if the light is shining on a problem, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you're ignoring it. I mean, please, come on.
Yeah. You know, I think, Jim, I have two dramatic thoughts, dramatically separated thoughts on the whole drone thing. One is, I sure as heck hope that our government and the contractors that they work with have technology way beyond my imagination that I don't know about, don't need to know about, because if I know about it, everybody knows about it. And I would like to just trust that to be so. But on the other hand, I don't trust the government to always put the American interest at the center of what it is they're doing. And watching John Kirby come out, and whenever John Kirby comes out, Brad was saying here earlier that when John Kirby comes out, you know that they're really committed to getting the narrative and the message straight. They're giving it to him. What do you think of how they've kind of tried to explain this away, in many cases made people have more questions?
Well, I mean, this is the problem. When you say something, wish-wash, like, well, we don't see a threat. But that doesn't mean there is no threat. It doesn't mean anything. It's a completely meaningless statement. The answer is do we have the technical capacity to ensure sovereignty over American airspace and actually expand the use of commercial drones inside the United States? The answer is, yeah, you bet. And can we do that in a way which safeguards Americans' freedom and liberties, allows the economy to grow and deal? Yes, Of course we, you know, this is the thing about, like, after 9/11, people say we have a choice. We can either lock down the country or you can die from terrorists. And the answer was, of course we can do, we don't have to take that choice. We can have a secure nation and we can have all our freedoms. And this is not alien space invaders, we don't think. These are technical solutions that are actually at hand. And if we had been thoughtfully keeping up with the progress of this in our country, we would be, now I know there's no do-overs, right? Because you can't go back. But can we address this issue in a responsible way? The answer is absolutely. What does it take? Well, it takes a government that actually focuses on the day job. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what we make of it. And sometimes I feel like these stories are distractions, but they just keep making the question seem.
No, this is not a distraction. What this is this is a cautionary tale. This is like, you know, when the guy blew up the bomb under the World Trade Center, and we all just like, oh, well, those guys are idiots, right? That was a cautionary tale. That they're going to come after your infrastructure and your stuff. This is a cautionary tale. Somebody is going to do this. Someday somebody is going to use adversarial use of drones inside the United States, and they're going to try and kill people. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. And we were just warned to get ready for this. And if we don't deal with this issue, if we just wash it away and say, okay, yeah, well, that was just people just being freaking out and they know what they're doing, then we're going to, then we have nobody to blame when people die.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Accept ourselves.
34 days until the inauguration. I'm just counting the days.
Not
literally.
That I'm counting. Yep. Don't even couldn't tell you. All right.
Jim, thank you. We appreciate you. Merry Christmas.
All right. You too, my friend.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jim Carafano is a senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation, our friend here on the Annie Fry Show. We're going to take a quick break. Ryan back in studio. We're rescheduling with Jeff Thompson, who was going to talk to us about drones. We're going to get to him a little bit later in the week, I think. So come back. We're going to hit some other topics here in front of us. One of the things that I do want to talk about just for a minute here is what we do know from that school shooting yesterday. We'll just touch on it a little bit. There are details that are out today that we didn't have yesterday. Just another really sad, tragic story. And we'll just give you the details on that when we return. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.